Well, brethren, good morning to you in North America, and good late evening to you down under. And those in Europe or into the afternoon, welcome to GoToMeeting Session 2. We do this on a weekly basis. Every second week, we have the two sessions, the Friday evening and the Saturday morning session here in North America. And we welcome you all, and we have the opportunity to fellowship together as one unified family in the body of Christ. Today, we have the privilege of listening to one of the elders in the Vermont area. That's in the USA for you, those don't know where Vermont is. And that's Roger Kendall. He's been with the Church of God for many, many years. And his message today is stand for the truth in the day of adversity. Roger.
Well, thank you, Norbert. It truly is a pleasure to be with you all here this morning, and it's afternoon for those of you in Europe, and those of you for further to the east. It's getting late in the evening, so it's quite an amazing thing that this modern technology allows us to be together in real time, to fellowship and to hear a message and to be able to be inspired on this the Sabbath day. So again, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's again, one of the things that we can recognize, we certainly are living in uncertain times, troubling times, as we see world events just swirling around us and so many things happening. And of course, it does affect us. It affects us in God's church. It's affecting our plans for the feast. And indeed, we really see that at this present time, things are getting a little bit more tenacious and difficult. And you know, it's certainly one of the things that is... We live in uncertain times. One thing is certain, that the times ahead is going to be more difficult and troubling and more difficult as we, as God's people, strive to serve God and to achieve the kingdom. So we know that that's what's going to be happening. Well, anyways, the inspiration for my message this morning and standing for the truth in the day of adversity comes from Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you'll turn there, let's look at this very short verse in scripture, Proverbs 24, verse 10, and we read, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, when I read this and got to thinking about the times we're living in, I said, are we living in a time of adversity and are things getting more difficult? Yes, they are. But it says here that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. What does this word faint refer to? Well, the English word faint comes from the Hebrew word rafa, which means to faint, to fail, to forsake, or to leave. And by extension, it can mean to fall away. And so this is important for us to recognize that we're in the flesh, we're human, and it's possible for us to fall away if our strength is not great or strong. And dealing with strength, we need to also consider the fact that where does our strength come from? Are we talking about physical strength or are we talking about spiritual strength? And so in when we look at our times, we need both. But the point is our spiritual strength is going to be much more important as we look forward, not necessarily look forward to, but as we see the days ahead as they go forward. So my question really for all of us to consider is that will we have the strength to stand and to even defend the truth in the time of adversity and troubles and difficulties that are coming upon the world? As we know in the Apostle Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 1, that we are living in the end times. Perilous times shall come. Well, I think we understand that we're in the end times as we see prophecy being fulfilled and events moving forward. We don't know the time frame, but we do know that we are approaching closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And that's encouraging in one sense, because this world needs the return of Christ in a more desperate way, more and more so every single day as we see this. Indeed, we see the world going more and more evil as Satan, the devil, and the demons continue to increase their evil works upon the earth. And their influence upon people. We can just see that in the news now, where people are just absolutely going crazy with anger, with hatred, with violence, with absolute throwing away the standards, the values, and the principles that have guided this nation for a long time and also around the world. But it's one thing is certain, our faith and our trust in God is going to be tested in the days ahead. God has called us, he teaches us, and then he tests us, and then to know, are we going to be faithful and true to the end? Again, as God's chosen, we need to truly have confidence, to have strength, to have commitment, and to have courage in these days that we're living in. And as time becomes more evil, we as God's people, we must not faint or fall away. We must always keep attention to the fact that, as we said in the opening prayer, as we've been discussing, that God is with us. Christ is there, and he's guiding and directing us. And we need to truly continue to impact that upon our minds so that we do not become, again, fearful, because that is not what God wants us to do. But in the world today, what about truth? Truth is essential. Truth is the very foundation, basis of who and what God is, his plan, his purpose, his laws, his commandments, really is essential to be able to understand, to know, and to defend the truth in these end times, because we are God's ambassadors on this earth. We represent him, and we need to truly stand strong. But what is happening in the world? Truth has been replaced by falsehoods, by deception, by lies, by unscrupulous people who basically are cast aside the truth. And in countries around the world, not just in the United States, truth has been turned upside down in every way as more and more evil is being shown and perpetrated upon the earth by Satan and his demons and by men who truly hate God. The prophet Isaiah, in several places, and again, really described the end times, especially not just in the United States, but around the world, regarding the loss of truth, the loss of understanding, and the losing the way of God and just absolutely forsaking God. Let's go to Isaiah, please. Let's go first to Isaiah 5, and let's go to verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Okay, here we are, and here is Isaiah 5, verse 20, and here we read, "Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Does this not describe the situation we're seeing in the world today? It absolutely does. "Woe to them who are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink." This word "woe" means absolute intensity of potential correction and danger. And so this is really serious language. But notice verse 23, "Woe who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore," verse 24, "therefore as the fire devours the stubble and the flames burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go like dust before the Lord of hosts, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Again, this describes what's going on in the world today in many, many quarters. Let's go to Isaiah 59, describing what the element of the loss of truth in the world and acceptance of the lies that are coming. Isaiah 59, and let's begin in verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness." Indeed, this is, describes again America and many places around the world. "None call for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth." No one pleads for truth. They look for their own fabrications, their own lies to be propagated. "Your tongue has muttered perverseness, and they trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Let's continue in verse 13. in rebellion and denial of the Lord and turning away from God, talking perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood. And justice is driven backward, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. In verse 15, yea, truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Now that's an interesting, he who departs from evil, meaning that they are now walking in the way of righteousness and truth, makes himself a target, a prey. And the Lord saw, and it was evil in the eyes, and there was no justice. Well, brethren, because we as God's people, we keep the truth of God, we keep his word, we obey his commandments, we follow Jesus Christ as our Savior God. As a result of that, we can expect more trouble and more difficulties upon us because of our belief. And so, brethren, we need to really understand, in spite of all the difficulties that we see coming, let us be encouraged and strengthened, knowing of our relationship that we have with God the Father and Jesus Christ, because we are his called out ones. We are the saints. We are the children of God. And we can look to that encouragement because of that relationship, we know that God is looking out for us, and we can be encouraged by that. But let's go to Colossians 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. And let's begin in verse 21. Verse 21, Colossians 1st chapter. We were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, but now he, meaning God, meaning Jesus Christ, has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before him. So we are a people called out by God to be a holy nation and to be part of his coming kingdom. But notice what it says next. It says here, if indeed, now notice this is conditional, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was proclaimed in all creation that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a servant. So here, brethren, we need to realize and understand that we have our part to play, don't we? Yes, God is there. God gives us his help and encouragement, but we have our part to play. We must continue to have the focus and the elements of faith, trust, and confidence in God as we go forward. And we all need to remember that, as Christ tells us and repeated in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that Christ and God the Father will never leave us nor forsake us, even in the depths of our trials and difficulties. And so, hang on to that. Realize that that is absolutely true. Absolutely true. So we must stand fast, brethren, and hold steadfast and focus on the works that God has given us to do and upon our goal to achieve the kingdom of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's read verse 58. So then, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So this is where our focus should be, not on being fearful and anxiety over the world, but we must do the works to continue to grow in grace and knowledge, continue to grow, change, and overcome, especially the enemy. We know last night we had a good profile of Satan and his demons, and I'll have more to say about that here in a little bit. But always abounding in the works of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, brethren, we are to be watchful. We are to be alert, awake, and aware of what's going on around us and world events. But also, we need to be aware of our own spiritual condition. Are we close to God? Are we truly, truly being like a blanket? Are we being covered by God's love, grace, and mercy? And that we know that that is true. And we can really take confidence in that. Let's go across the page. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and read verse 13, where it says, be watchful. Again, we need to do that. We need to not be caught unawares. Again, it says stand fast in the faith. And that faith is our faith coupled with Christ's faith in us. Conduct yourselves with courage. Absolutely thing we need to keep in mind. Courage is something that we need to latch on to and not be fearful. Be strong in the Lord. So here we get a little bit of a hint into where our strength comes from. Yes, we have physical strength and we have, but yet we look for the strength that God has for us so that we can be truly encouraged. Because our strength is from God, as David the psalmist told us in Psalm 18. Let's go back to Psalm 18 and recognize that we don't stand alone as far as our own strength, because that's not the way it is. So back to Psalm 18. This is the Psalm of David in verse 1. And we can read, very straightforward, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Nothing can be clearer than that. David loved the Lord God so much, and he depended upon the strength for him to achieve anything that he was going to be doing. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I shall be saved from my enemies. And let's drop over to verse 32, the same chapter, to complete this thought process. It is God, verse 32, Psalm 18, where it says, it is God who girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. So, brethren, here again, we must stand strong, dedicated, focused, standing steadfast, standing in the truth, because that's where it's at, isn't it? Yes, we need to stand in the truth and be ready to defend it and to never compromise, never to just to go around it and try to make excuses for ourselves. But we should always walk in the truth and not be drawn away by our own desires and our own temptations that may come upon us. And therefore, brethren, let us understand that God is with us, and he has given us the power of his Holy Spirit to be within us. Paul expresses this very clearly over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and pick it up in verse 7. Very strong and very important verse to know and understand. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. God is love. God is gracious. God is merciful. And he's there for us. And so we do not need to fear God in that sense. We fear God because he is the awesome God. But we don't fear for ourselves, because we have a protector in heaven. We have a high priest who is looking out for us. And this one says, okay, not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. Wow, that's what Steve was going into that last night a little bit. He's sort of going over the fact that we can have courage and encouragement because we don't stand alone. We are with God, and therefore he is with us, and his power is available to us through his spirit. Notice, but a spirit of power and of love. And it goes, power and love always has to go together in one sense, because if you've got power, you want to basically be full of love to be able to use that power, of course, correctly, and of a sound mindedness. And that sound mindedness is really referring to having the mind of Christ, being recognizing that it's through his very nature, his very mind in us, allows us to grow, change, become more like he is, full of holiness and righteousness and truth. And so indeed, we can really be thankful that we don't have to stand upon our own physical strength, emotional strength, against the onslaught of things that may be coming in the future. This was quoted last night. Steve mentioned 1 John 4, verse 4, and I will just repeat that. We don't need to turn there. Very important verse. It says that we are the children of God, and we are, and that puts us in a special class. But notice it says, and note that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so Satan cannot move against us and take us out, if you will, unless we fall down, unless we do not do our part in standing strong in defending the truth in the time of adversity. We serve a God who is a powerful, mighty God, but let's understand more about the truth of God. The truth of God is very fundamental to the Bible, His Word, His plan, His purpose, of course, because indeed, we serve a God of truth, and He cannot lie. So His Word, the veracity, the truth of God's Word is solid. Indeed, Hebrews 6, verse 18 basically says that God, again, some say he could lie if he wanted to, but he's chosen. He is in his nature not to lie. He is truthful. He is righteous and he is good. And so therefore, his word is the truth. John 17, verse 7, you'll need to turn there. It says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. And brethren, we know that Jesus Christ came as the Savior of the world, but he also came as a bringer of truth. He is the Word, and he brought truth to the world. And let's go over to first the Apostle John 1 and verse 17. John 1 and verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and the truth came through Jesus Christ. So here we see the source of truth is through Jesus Christ. And we do know very, very clearly the scripture that says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to me except through the Father. We understand then that God's law is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 142. You don't need to turn there. God's law is the truth. God's commandments are the truth. Psalm 119, verse 151. Psalm 119, verses 151. God's works are true and they endure forever. You can find that in Psalm 111, verses 7 through 8. So, brethren, we can understand that God's truth is perfect. It is correct. It is absolute. It is pure and without any fault or without any error. We can read this in Psalm 19. Let's read this. Important for us to really appreciate God's nature, but also the fact that he has given us the way of truth, which truly produces right living and all things that are good. Psalm 19, and let's read, pick up in verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Very simply, when you obey God, follow his laws and commandments, it brings blessings. It brings abundance. It brings prosperity in ways that we understand. And it all goes to God's credit to his law, because his law is perfect. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. That is, without any error, without any negative aspect, without anything that's wrong. Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So as we internalize God's truth, and in in Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 4, you can read that later. I'll have you read that later. But anyways, there it says that, you know, bind the truth around your neck. And interesting, it says that because, you know, follow the laws and commandments of God, trust God. But it says to bind the truth around your neck like a garment so that it's there and it's part of you. And that's something we need to keep in mind as we serve the God of the Bible. So let's understand the truth of God is universal. It is absolute. It exists separate from any individual, and yet it applies to every person at all times, anywhere in the world. God expects all people, of course, to obey his laws and commandments, and to break those laws is to commit lawlessness and sin. So we know that this is a clear picture. If you don't follow the truth, obey God, and love God, then you fall into the ways of this world, the way of Satan, the devil, and the way of sin. And Christ basically told us that if we live in the words of Christ, then this will set us free. The truth shall set us free. Very familiar verse in John 8. Let's go to John 8, please. John 8, and pick it up in verse 31. Here we read, therefore Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. In other words, you just to say you believe in Christ and do not obey his voice does not make you a disciple. No, not at all. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Powerful statement. The truth of God will set us free because it shows the way to salvation. It shows us the way to overcome sin. It shows us the way to obey God, to please God, and do that which is right before him. And so it's just clearly freedom comes through believing and following and living by the truth of God. Now, God's truth, very simply, is the basis for making all moral, ethical, and righteous judgments or decisions in life. It is the basis of how we live. If something does not agree with the Bible, that is, in the words of Christ and the words of the scriptures, then it is not true and it should not be accepted. And so we believe and understand the truth of God because of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, we understand the truth of God. Why? Because God has blessed us and given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us a part of himself so that we can know and understand the truth. We can read about this, of course, 2 Corinthians, very familiar set of scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And read into the record, as they say, the fact that we're privileged to know the truth because of God's Spirit. Okay, let's begin here in verse. Yes, here we go. Verse 11. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? In the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God, namely his truth, his word, his commandments, his law, his way of life, all of that. Yes, graciously given to us, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. And so, brethren, this is quite clear that the Holy Spirit is truly essential in us understanding truth. Without it, we would truly be ignorant of the truth of God. Let's go to John 14, another scripture supporting what we're saying here about the importance of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 14 and let's read verses 16 and 17. John 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Yes, this is another word that can be used for the Holy Spirit, Paracletos, that it may be with you and throughout the age. Even the Spirit of truth, notice, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, which leads us into truth and understanding, of course, which the world cannot receive because it perceives it not, nor knows it, does not know it. But you know it because it dwells with you and shall be within you. Of course, this is prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But anyways, this was the key point here is that we are to truly understand that through the Spirit. And it's through the Spirit that we even are able to worship God, because through the Holy Spirit and his truth, we can worship and God correctly. For it says, Jesus said in John 4, verse 24 says that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so the two work together, do they not? God's spirit and God's truth. Now, it's through God's spirit we share in God's power. We share in his knowledge. We share in his truth, as well as his love, grace, and mercy. What a profound thing this is that we've been called and given the Holy Spirit and given the understanding of his truth. He has provided the Spirit of truth to what? To guide us and to teach us and to help us to understand how to live a way that truly produces a good life, not just a good life, but a righteous life according to his laws and commandments. And that is so important. And we can, and it gives us the power to discern lies and hypocrisy and errors. In other words, it helps us to discern truth from error. If we are studying the Word of God, now that's important. If we're studying the Word of God and if we truly are incorporating that truth into our very minds, and that's our part. We've got to study the Word of God to know God's truth so that in the day of trouble that we will be able to know and understand the truth of God and be able to stand courageously without fear, without intimidation, stand for the truth of God. It's interesting to note that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's go over there. There Paul points out that those who do not love the truth of God are going to be subject to deception. And here we go. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, and let's begin in verse 8. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one, that is the beast power, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God for that. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes, God will allow Satan and to impart great power into this beast power with great signs and wonders. And those are going to deceive many into thinking that he is the coming Messiah or that he is God himself. Notice reading on. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing. They're perishing. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. And so here again, the truth is like a shield, as like it basically keeps us from being deceived. Going forward, we understand and realize that the Apostle Paul went through many trials, and he was persecuted very severely in many, many ways by the Jews that wanted to kill him. And he tells us, for those who live by the truth of God and by the word, by the gospel, shall be persecuted. In other words, we're looking at the fact that the world hates God. And so let's go over to 2 Timothy and realize that the world hates the truth. And therefore, they hate us, as Christ said. They hated him. They said they also will hate you. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. There we go. And here Paul writes to Timothy, "But you have closely followed my doctrine," that is his teachings of the truth, "conduct, purpose, faith, so critical now as we go forward, patience, love, endurance." We need all of these elements, do we not? Absolutely. And notice what he says. You have noticed what? He followed his persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. You know what sort of persecution I endured, and the Lord delivered me out of them all. So that's what Christ and God the Father did for Paul. He's there for us. He will deliver us out of our trials and all of our woes and difficulties, if we trust and believe in him, of course. But notice verse 12, indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Jesus Christ shall, not maybe, or it says shall, be persecuted. And so, brethren, we know indeed that persecution against Christians has been all down through time, but we can see and sense and feel that persecution against the true people of God through Satan's efforts and stir up and to deceive and to take out God's people, trials and difficulties upon God's people may increase and will increase over time as we look toward the end of this era. Again, we see increased persecution in China and the Middle East, but even now here in the United States, we're seeing a fervor of activity to label the Bible hate speech and to again, we see, they're out there, they're burning of churches, they're burning Bibles. So we see that this is increasing. But over the past few hundred years, at least God's people has had at least a great deal of protection from the Constitution and the laws of this country. But those laws and the Constitution is being chipped away and eroded as we go forward. And we can see this happening around us. So we need to be praying that God's will be done and that he can preserve his people, and he will, even though hatred is rising all around us. Individuals who hold the biblical world view, who basically look to God as the supreme God of the universe, who look to Jesus Christ as Savior, who keep the commandments of God, and who believe in the return of Jesus Christ, are facing a growing hatred, and consequently the consequences of persecution. You know, brethren, as we look into the Word of God, we know that as we approach toward the end time, closer to the tribulation and the establishment of the new world religion under the false prophet and being guided by the power of the beast power, we know that the people of God will come under assault. Let's go to Revelation 13 and verse 7. A few scriptures here, which many may find discouraging, but on the other hand, let us realize that we serve a loyal, faithful God, and he will provide for us as time goes forward. But Revelation 13, verse 7. Again, there's many references here. I think there's three references where the beast power will make war against the saints. But let's read verse 7, chapter 13. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. So we can see that this, quote, power of the beast is going to just overcome the power, which is through the power of Satan. God's going to allow it, but it's going to overtake the entire world. And we will become targets. We'll become a thorn in their side, and they will do their best to eliminate us. We do know that as we approach into the tribulation period, that God's people, some will be taken to a place of safety and be preserved, as Christ said in Matthew 16, that the church, that the grave will not prevail against the church. But we do know that the balance of God's people will come under attack. Let's go to back to Revelation 12, just across the page here. Revelation 12 and read verse 13 through 17. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had brought forth the child. That's the church. That is the true people of God. The two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she might fly away in her place in the wilderness where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river, so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth opened the woman, But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Notice what it says. Then the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is in the Word of God. And of course, this pictures the coming of the time of the fifth seal. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. We won't turn there for sake of time, but there it describes the opening of the fifth seal, which is the martyrdom of the saints of God. And all through this time period, true Christians who truly love God and love the truth of God will faithfully stand strong and will not fall away or give in to the pressures of physical harm and even death. Let's read Revelation 14, verse 12. Really interesting verse scriptures here in the book of Revelation. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, notice faith of Jesus. Jesus Christ gives us his own very faith. And so this is the element. These are the elements that will give us the strength to prevail in the day of our adversity. But now notice back in Revelation 12, we're jumping back and forth here, but over in Revelation 12, pick up in verse 10, and Satan is cast down. And then John writes, and I heard a great voice in heaven. Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And this is something Steve went over last night. Satan is doing all he can now to accuse the brethren, to attack the brethren, to cause us to have doubts, to help us to, cause us to, again, to be fearful. And again, all of this is part of his attempt to take down the church and to destroy the very plan of God. But notice verse 11. But they, meaning the true saints of God, those who are standing for the truth, they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb. That they know that through that covenant, through the blood of the Lamb, their sins have been forgiven, are trusting in Christ. And through the word of their testimony, that is through the truth of God, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And so, brethren, these scriptures truly point us that there is a difficult time coming ahead. But let us have faith, trust, and confidence in God. Let's turn to Matthew 10, please. Matthew 10 is an interesting chapter. It's almost like an inlaid chapter that really gives us many things that we will face or might face as we approach the time of the tribulation and the time when things are going to get very, very difficult for God's people. In the beginning of chapter 10, yeah, here we are, chapter 10, Matthew 10. The first part of this chapter, Christ is sending out his disciples to go out and to preach the gospel and to mention a few things about what they should be doing. But as we drop down to verse 16, we can see that this chapter can start applying to us, God's people, even in the end time. So we see that maybe there's duality here. But let's pick it up in verse 16, Matthew 10. Behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so we are like sheep and we are like doves in a sense in this world today. And we're living with many, many wolves around. Absolutely. Again, verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and they will scourge you in their synagogue. And you shall also be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. Now, this is an important scripture to note, that we in the end time, those who are going to live through this, even though we may be taken and we are going to be used as tools of God to be a witness to this world and to be able to stand for the truth and stand in this day of adversity, which will come across those of faith. Now, when they deliver you up, verse 19, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak. For in that hour it shall be given you for what you shall speak. Powerful movement of the Holy Spirit in us. For it is not you who shall speak, but the Spirit of your Father will speak in you. So the power of God is in there. The strength is there. We need to stand and be faithful and true. If this would be a situation that would come upon us, then brother shall deliver brother to death, and the father the child. The children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. And you shall be hated for all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Brethren, this language here is very reminiscent of what we read in chapter. It is parallel to what we read in Matthew 24. And again, that is talking about the end time. And so we can see how this is inserted here for those of us who will be living in the end time. Again, let's drop down to, let's drop down to, one thing I wanted to mention here is that this parallels the situation that occurred to Stephen in Acts 6 and 7. We won't go there, but as you recall, Stephen, of course, was a deacon. He was full of the Spirit, and he did many wonderful works, and he really was an outstanding spokesman for the kingdom of God. And, of course, the enemy, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, moved against him, and they took him, and they brought charges, false charges against him. And in chapters 6 and 7, we can read of that account. But Stephen stood strong. He stood in the gap, and he truly proclaimed God's message, and then he adjured them, and he accused them of their sins, and they hated him for it. And of course, he then was martyred. But again, it's an example of things that we're going to see perhaps in the future, but we may have a role in that. And not a pleasant thing to think about, but recognize that God is with us even to the end. Let's continue in Matthew 10, verse 26. Very important verse to read. Therefore, do not fear them, because there is nothing covered for that shall not be even covered, and nothing hidden that shall not be known. Again, do not be afraid. God is with you and in you. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, proclaim in the housetops. But do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but do not have power to destroy the life, that is eternal life. Rather fear him who has the power, that is God the Father and Jesus Christ, who have the power to destroy both life and body in Gehenna, the lake of fire. Are not two sparrows sold for a coin, and not one of them falls and cleft the ground except your Father takes note of it? But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, do not be afraid. You are better than many sparrows. We are the children of God. We are his family, and he will see us through even the most terrible, difficult times that the Bible prophesies that will come to pass. Okay, let's continue to read down through, picking it up. Let's continue to read in verse 32 through 36. Now then, very important for here, Christ says that we need to be strong and to not forsake him, because if we forsake Christ, then he will forsake us. Very clearly here. Now then, whoever shall confess me before men, that one I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, that one I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Very, very clear. This is an admonition to us to recognize we cannot fall down and fall into not professing and confessing our faith and trust in God. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to test a man at variance against her father and daughter, and mother and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. Brethren, we are looking at times which will be very extremely difficult for those who are living in the world at the end time as God's people. Okay, continue to, let's finish this out by going back reading 37 to 39. Verses 37 to 39. And the one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, this is really one of comparison that we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and being. And nothing else should come between us and our love for God. And the one who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We have to be, when we were baptized and we committed our lives to grow, change, and overcome, and to accept the trials and the hardship that would come upon us because we were God's people. And again, that's what this is referring to here. But notice verse 39, the one who has found his life shall lose it. In other words, who has found his life in this world, in this life, trying to preserve it physically, who's found his life shall lose it. But the one who has lost his life for my sake, that is one who is willing to lay down his life for the truth, shall find it. That is, will have the promise of eternal life. So this language here is pretty clear for us to understand, and we can appreciate and be encouraged by it. Indeed, God's people must always stand strong in the gap. We must always strong. We always must stand strong. And as I say, we're God's ambassadors to the world, and we need to recognize that there are situations which may come up when we need to speak up and to stand for the truth in faith, trusting in God, trusting in him and his power and his might. So I'd like to just briefly mention some key points that will help us to do that, to stand strong in the truth in the day of adversity. And one of them, of course, is to, number one, to love God with all your heart and soul and being, and to stay close to him in prayer and in study. That is bottom foundational. And to recognize that if we are not strong in the word of God, if we're not standing strong in faith, then we will be our strength will not be enough. So the next thing element here is to stand strong in the power of God through faith. Stand strong in the power of God in the strength of God through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, as we read here in the scriptures. Indeed, recognize what Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13, and I will just paraphrase it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. Yes, it's Christ in us. It gives us the strength and the power to achieve growth, but also to stand strong in the day of adversity. Let's go to Ephesians 6. That's where Steve went last night in dealing with talking about the power of God, and that's where we're going there too, because we put on the armor of God. It's really all-encompassing. It's amazing what the armor of God covers, and I don't have time. There's many sermons could be given on the armor of God, but what I want to focus on is a couple of things here. Let's read verse 10 first, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Be strong in the strength of God. And we can, but you know, we have to activate that. We have to, in our prayers, we need to ask God to give us strength, the help, the power that we need, his power through his spirit, so we can accomplish his will and his purpose. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And indeed, Steve again covered much of that last night, getting into how Satan is doing all he can to tempt us, to deceive us, to cause us to doubt God and to take us out. And yet we stand in the truth. That will not happen. We will be strong in the Lord. Again, verse 12, we'll skip over verse 12 and 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so you may be able to resist the evil day, and having worked out all things, to stand. So there's a third time. It's talking about standing. If you fall, you're weak. You're out of the battle. But you're standing with the armor of God, and you are a warrior for God. You are a soldier for God. You are fighting for the truth. And we can do it through the power of God that he gives us. Verse 14, third time, says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. So the belt of truth is spoken of, the first thing that we need to put on, the belt of truth, so that we can stand and fight for truth, the word of God, in the time that comes upon us. Indeed, we can read through the rest of this, but the key thing here is remember that the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and finally the very sword of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit here is likened to a sword, an offensive weapon of fight, and to repel and to annihilate the enemy, if you will. So you can see how this all comes together. So last night it was said that we must become good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Next thing is to practice to live by the truth of God. If we're practicing and living by the truth of God, it becomes internalized in us. It becomes part of us. So that it's not a matter of if or but or any, but this, it is there automatically. It is strong. It is not going to be taken out, or because it will give us the strength and the power, because it's part of us and we will not turn away from it. As we know, as God's way of life, we must always walk in faith. Not by sight, walk by the faith. Walk by faith, believe in hope, live in love, because love is the basis of all that we do in loving God and serving God and others. But also we must live for and defend the truth, truth of God. Defend the truth and stand for the truth. Again, to do that, we must have courage and fortitude. Courage and fortitude is again, mentioned over and over. And that courage comes from God through prayer. We pray and God gives us the strength, the power, courage. Again, we know, as Joshua called out, Christ told, the Lord told Joshua three times to stand strong and to take courage. Courage means that you truly have the power and the will to go forward without fear. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, The righteous are as bold as lions. So here we see, if you're righteous, you're following God's truth, you can truly have courage. Let's read from Psalm 27, verse 1 through 3. Back to the Psalms, please. Psalm 27, and let's read 1 through 3. Psalm 27, and reading verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one, no person, no thing, no person, nothing. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should engage against me, encamp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war shall rise against me, even then I shall be confident. And that brings us to the next element, to be confident in the Word of God. We've got to believe, have faith and trust and confidence in the Word of God, and to have deep conviction. Deep conviction, brethren, is an element where you have internalized the truth of God so that it becomes part of you. You have your conviction now is not based on preference or choice, this, that, the other thing. It is solid commitment and solid trust and faith in God. And not subject, and it's not subject to change. You put it, it's there, it's solid, and deep conviction is not subject to change. And finally, to hold up your commitment. What is our commitment? Our commitment is to serve, love God, and to keep His commandments, but also to be able to be go through life and to do His will and purpose. And this means loyalty and faithfulness and to never turn back from our goal to reach the kingdom of God. And that vision of the kingdom of God, brethren, we need to keep that burning brightly in our minds and just recognize and realize how great and awesome that is going to be. To receive the kingdom of God and to be on the sea of glass and to just see everyone and to be able to go to work then to bring truth back to this earth. Because indeed, our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. He is going to come back in power as the Lion of Judah, and He is going to restore truth upon the earth. He is going to restore truth, and He's, as it says then, Isaiah 11, verse 9, He says that the knowledge of the Lord of God shall cover the earth like the oceans cover the sea, cover the earth. And so we are going to be a part of that, brethren. We're going to be there to help the world understand the wonderful plan of God, His mercy, His grace, and His truth. And they can have a part in it. And it's going to be a wonderful, glorious time that we will have. So in the meantime, brethren, let us recognize we have our part to play. Call upon God, call upon His strength, His power, His might through the Holy Spirit. And let us recognize that we need to stand in the day of adversity because we will be able to do it because our strength will be great. So finally, I'll ask you to read one final scripture, please. Turn to Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21, one verse here, and Christ tells us here, watch therefore and pray at all times that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. And you go back through Luke 21 talks about the end time difficulties. Worthy to escape all these things and shall come to pass. That shall come to pass. But notice what it says, and to stand before the Son of Man, that is to stand before Jesus Christ and to be welcomed into the family of God. Brethren, let us truly stand firm, keeping God's word, defending the truth. And if we do that, brethren, our strength will be strong.